This is an address entitled Our Right to True Individualism by William D. Kilpatrick, a teacher of Christian Science. This is his association address of 1934. Christian scientists should learn to think, and to think for themselves, unaided and unhindered by any of the arguments of others, including aggressive mental suggestion from without. What a boon it is to have with us always that which we know is true and right, and whereby we can weigh all thoughts, and thus determine their source and ultimate. We may often determine the source of a thought by determining its ultimate. But always try and think for yourselves, and let your judgment, your reasoning, and your deductions be based on your understanding of God and man, and not on personal opinions, likes, dislikes, political tendencies, breeding, or inclinations. Be a child of God and not a child of man. Be independent and you will be free. Be individualistic and you will not be muddled or confused by high-sounding phrases, schemes, or plans. What is God? What is man? God is mind. Mind is reflected. How? By spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence, then, constitutes man. Spiritual intelligence is expressed through you and me right here and now in our thinking. And that intelligence comes from the only mind there is. In fact, that intelligence is that mind. That mind is omnipotent. Therefore, when you and I are expressing spiritual intelligence, we are expressing omnipotence. Always bear that in mind. Your right thinking is omnipotence with you. The reason we are not bringing out the fruits of the Spirit is because we are not thinking with that conviction born of understanding. We still, I am afraid, look upon our God as something afar off, even when we think of Him as mind. We do not seem to have arrived yet at the point where we are willing to endow our right thinking with the sense or understanding of omnipotence, which is God. Spiritual thinking, or right thinking, is God with us. It is not a reflection of a mind which is separated from us. It is God with us. And God with us is omnipotence with us. Spiritual intelligence is the presence of spiritual ideas in consciousness, and an idea comes from God. These ideas existing in our consciousness constitute our sonship with God. And as the Father and the Son are one, then we have with us the omnipotence of the one God when we are thinking rightly. Now, a divine idea in consciousness is in itself omnipotence. We do not have to endow a divine idea with omnipotence. The very presence in thought of those ideas constitutes omnipotence. And this omnipotence, if left alone, without the intervention of our own doubts and fears, will work the works of omnipotence. A right idea is omnipotent in and of itself, And the presence of a right idea in our consciousness is all that you and I are concerned about. The omnipotence is taken care of by God, and the work is done by Him. Your and my obligation, as far as a particular idea is concerned, ceases with the presence of that idea in thought. If we will let God do the work, He will do it. God also is spirit, which means to us that all of God's ideas are ever present, awaiting admission into our consciousness. We do not have to search for God's ideas. We certainly do not have to manufacture them. They are here and now, existing in infinity, surrounding us, encompassing us, and awaiting admission to our consciousness. As St. Paul puts it, in Him we live and move and have our being. All that you and I have to do is to realize the ever-presence of these ideas and open our consciousness to them, let them in, and we have then allied ourselves to the omnipotence of God. The realization of this ever-presence of His ideas brings out to our consciousness the sense of God as Spirit ever-present. God is truth, and what has been said of Spirit and ideas of mind may be said of truth. Truth is spirit because both are God. Therefore, truth is ever-present. And as there is but one truth about anything and everything, and one mind, there can be no confusion and no opposite of truth. If truth has no opposite, and it cannot have an opposite if there is but one God, then nothing can come into the experience of man which can make a lie, argue for confusion of thought, inharmony, discouragement, or indecision. Truth must be the opposite of error. And as God is truth, and truth fills all space, there can be no error. The sense that there is no opposite of God as error brings out the true sense of God as truth. And this sense of truth, or ideas, in consciousness, brings out again the true sense of omnipotence in our right thinking. We must be so certain of the omnipotence of our right thinking that any sense of doubt or anxiety or fear will be foreign to our experience. We cannot doubt, we cannot fear, we cannot be anxious or undecided if we are realizing the omnipotence, the omniscience, and the omnipresence of God. This consciousness of God, or this divine consciousness, brings out to us the sense of God as soul. The soul of man is God in consciousness. The soul of man is divine consciousness. The soul of man is the Christ, the Holy Ghost, the man of God's creating. As we know, the Christ is truth made manifest in human consciousness. Mrs. Eddy uses the word Christ and the term truth synonymously, apparently. And as the Father and the Son are one, there is, in reality, only the distinction between the two of application. The Christ, then, is truth made manifest to human consciousness. This Christ, this truth made manifest to human consciousness, is omnipotence. The only difference between the Christ and the truth is one of application or consciousness. When truth becomes operative in human consciousness, it is the Christ or the Savior. This Christ, this truth, operative in human consciousness, naturally rules out of consciousness that which is its supposed opposite. The supposed opposite of truth is, of course, carnality, hate, belief in matter, etc. When these beliefs of matter, death, etc., are ruled out of thought, what is left? Eternity, harmony, peace, etc. And eternity is expressed in life. Hence, the term life is given to God by Mrs. Eddy. God must be life if the understanding of God in consciousness does away with that which leads to death, such as sickness, matter, etc. So, God must be life. The understanding of this in our individual consciousness, the understanding that our right thinking, our pure thinking, our spiritual thinking is life, must result in length of days far beyond the 70 years supposedly allotted to man. Should not Christian scientists right now be demonstrating length of days, vigor, freshness, youth? Indeed they should, but I shall have more to say of that later.